Let's pray. Gracious God, as every morning we have so many reasons to be thankful, grateful to you. And as we ask you, and as we open our minds and hearts, and ask you that you may keep talking to us this morning, we also ask you that we can remember those who made their ultimate sacrifice for this country, for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A dear friend of mine, who also made his doctoral studies in Germany, in Munich, wrote a very strange but beautiful text many years ago, an article where he recalled the day he received the news about his father's passing. And he entitled the article, very strange title, "The Sacrament of the Cigarette Butt." And he wrote, "It was August at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Munich, Germany, when I opened my computer to check my email after having arrived from my homeland, it was Brazil, in a 12-hour flight. My little brother sent me a letter on behalf of the whole family. I opened the email with a bated breath. A mystery fluttered. My dear," so wrote his brother, "you will be in Munich at the time this email arrives. Contrary to other letters, this one brings a news which, seen from the perspective of faith, is good news. God, the same day you departed for Germany, demanded from us a tribute of faith and love. He looked at each of us and chose the most prepared, the most qualified. He chose our father. But my dear, God did not take him from us. He placed our father deeper among us. Dad has not gone, he just has come. He simply left this space in order to be able to be present with every one of us in every place we go." The email went on with the details of my father's passing, wrote my friend in the article. In the midst of the unexpected, painful news, my friend did not know what his brother's words exactly meant until 2 days later, when he received in the mail, in this case, another letter. This time it came from his sister, who has always refused to use electronic ways of communication, with a handwritten letter announcing their father's death. In the envelope, he perceived it came also with something little and apparently insignificant, which became eventually a sign of life for him. It was a yellowed butt of a straw cigarette, the last one his father had smoked moments before a massive heart attack freed him from this tired existence at only 54 years of age. The beautiful and feminine sensitivity of his sister thought that having that last object their father had in this life could help alleviate the pain for the unexpected loss. But it became more than that. My friend finishes the article about the last cigarette his father smoked with a very interesting and also meaningful statement. The cigarette end can be seen outwardly as a useless, ugly object, he wrote. That is the scientific or superficial viewpoint from which one concludes it is worth nothing. But looking at it from within, from what it means to me for being from my father, it acquires immeasurable sentimental value. It becomes rather a symbol. From that moment on, the cigarette end ceased to be just an insignificant object. It became a sacrament, a symbol. Kept in a little jar, its typical color or a strong odor kept it forever lit in my life. Every time I see it in the jar, it reminds me of my father. It has become a living sacrament, which has been speaking of life and joining me every day. It makes me remember my father more powerfully than anything else. It makes the life of dad present. Many of my colleagues, when they read this article, thought that our friend had lost his mind. How could he keep the cigarette butt that killed his father as a sacrament to remember him? It made no sense. Well, maybe that is why he studied theology, was studying theology. Theology and Christian faith sometimes, or maybe many times, do not make sense. Over time, I have come to realize that to remember can be a powerful way to heal the empty heart. And symbols born of daily life can be the sacramental instrument to make our memories a life-giving experience. But remembrance can also be a challenging exercise. I can imagine some people like to remember very much. Those who saw the sermon's preview and yet are still today here heard that I was talking about that history professor who really loves to remember everything, and he has this gift I wish I could have of remembering every detail. Well, there are people that who like to remember, and they make the act of remembering part of their lives. But there are others who might not like it so much. Either they cannot remember properly, or they think that the past is just old events, not worth bringing them up to the present. What really should matter is what is going on in one's life, and more importantly, what the future can hold. Others might be afraid and don't want to bring up those events of the past that make them feel sad or maybe ashamed. And indeed, as I was writing this sermon, I started thinking of that week when my mother passed away, maybe the darkest and the most terrible moment in my whole life. And I wished it could be wiped off my memory. And so each of us could share at these moments in our lives which we wish they had never happened. So in these cases, how can remembrance help us? Why should we remember these awful, sad events of our past? Or why should we remember at all? What good is that for in our lives? Wouldn't it be better to focus on the present, on its issues, which are a lot, and how to address them? Wouldn't it be better to focus on building a better future and to leave our pasts behind? In the end, that is what will make us make progress and move forward with our lives. The past is maybe just for history books, or maybe for melancholic poets or boring theologians. Honestly, I could qualify to be among this group. But I myself, although I could qualify to be among this group, I myself tend to focus too much sometimes on planning the future, on thinking of every detail, how I plan the future that everything falls into place. Well, very often I'm reminded how dangerous it could be when one doesn't make a pause to reflect on past events in your lives. And the most dangerous is that you become more vulnerable to make the same mistakes you made in the past. But unfortunately, we are constantly told in our modern society that a successful person is the one who always looks straight ahead, never back. A very pragmatic friend of mine who follows this way of reasoning very, very well used to remind me very often of what happened to Lot and his wife in the Bible, exactly for looking back. So how can the remembrance of the past, especially these sad events, help us? Early Christians in the New Testament, who also shared many of the issues we face today, might have felt the same, particularly when they gathered together in the service to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and also when they were asked, especially, to remember the Lord's death. Why do I have to remember the death of Jesus? The cross? It sounds a little bit creepy. Like my friend with the cigarette butt. I was saying in the A15 service that if that had been the story 2,000 years ago, we might be carrying a cigarette butt instead of a cross. Why do I have to remember the death of Jesus, the cross? Well, we know today, and that makes even more challenging this statement, we know today that the faith of the early Christians was built on a strong expectation that the risen Lord would return immediately. With that expectation, with that return, all sufferings, all trials would end forever. The end of the world is near. Maranatha, the Lord is coming. That was the most common greeting among Christians in the early church. That is why one can read in some parts of the New Testament some weird recommendations. For example, Christians were recommended to remain single, to not get married. They were also recommended not to work. I like that one expression. And they were also recommended to bring everything, every possession, every belonging to the church. Anne Marie and I like that also. So all of our financial issues would be fixed if we try to implement that again. Now we are not considering that yet. In that context of the imminent return of the Lord, early Christians might have seen the question of the ask to remember Jesus' cross at least useless, at the very least useless. But what happened? As years, we know, went by, and we are still waiting for that. And the Lord has not returned. What happened? Well, Christians, one could ask, Christians may have felt discouraged, like we might feel today when we see our hopes and expectations fade. Then facing that new situation, the apostles felt that they had to nurture the faith of the believers and to preserve their hope as they were being challenged with persecutions. And we know all what they had to face. So their faith and hope should not be based only on the expectation of the coming of Jesus, which it seemed not so close, not too close as they thought at the very beginning. And so, in an incredible paradigm shift in the history of Christian thought, the church started changing the message, at least the focus of its message, we would say, for better or worse. One of these changes happened especially in the Sunday's celebrations, especially in the agape, in the Lord's Supper. And so, as we read in the today's scripture, the cross and death of Jesus, the powerful events of the crucifixion started playing a crucial role in the early church to encourage Christians to persevere in their faith. But again, the remembrance of the cross seemed a big challenge for them, who, like most people, and we are the same, didn't like to remember shameful or sad stories of the past, or like many of us, prefer a selective memory, those events that we like. And it is understandable. Why should we remember any awful moments? In general, why should we remember something that reminds us of death and our failures in our lives? Fortunately, the apostles had a different approach. And so they tried to use the remembrance of the death of Jesus to lift up the faith of Christians in the early church. Contrary to what most Christians might have felt regarding remembering the awful cross of Jesus, surprisingly, that moment became beautifully special for the Christian community. It became the moment in the Christian worship. Not the preaching, so required, not the choir, not the music. It was the Lord's Supper, which became the moment, the central moment in Christian worship. That was the moment that everyone awaited with big expectation and devotion every time they gathered. The moment when all Christians were called to partake the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, remembering his death, because it made God's presence real among them. And so the cross, the awful cross, has become a living symbol of forgiveness, and most importantly, a hope-giving symbol of God's solidarity with all of our sufferings and human senselessness. By remembering that event, the apostles were bringing up the most powerful story of God's closeness to our human reality. And in that meal, in that agape, in that moment of remembrance, God became real among them. To remember Jesus' cross and death during the Lord's Supper not only changed the Christian service, the Christian worship, but it has shaped and challenged the Christian message until now. The act of remembrance challenged Christians then in the early church, and it might still challenge us today, especially in days like this Sunday, Memorial Sunday. Contrary to what many might think, that act can transform our present into a more meaningful and life-giving reality. To illustrate this idea and to conclude my sermon, I would like to share one of the most beautiful experiences I had with my grandpa. I have to warn you, I might have told this story in one of my first sermons here in Northwoods back in Christmas 2016, so I apologize if that repetition bothers you. You know, this is one of the sinful moments, among many others, that preachers have to ask for forgiveness. But besides that, I think back in that time, I didn't have the good tradition of giving you my transcripts. And you might not have understood what I said in that sermon. So even though it was Christmas, you might have thought that I was talking about Easter. So I decided to use that story, which means a lot to me and helps me. Well, I'm going to use a word Doreen doesn't like, to wrap up this idea of remembering. And a little bit of the context of that story. So my grandparents, whose both families immigrated from Spain, lived most part of their lives in the U.S. They got divorced in the 1960s when my father was a teenager. Although they lived in Miami, very close to each other, the relationship was always very tense. They didn't want to know or hear anything about each other. Every time I went to Miami to visit them, I had to keep it secret that I had been in the other one's house. I always tried to avoid mentioning the other's name as well, to try to keep peace. In June 2016, after suffering a severe stroke, my grandmother passed away. Her last wish was to be cremated, and the ashes would be placed in my father's grave in Havana. On my trip to Miami following her passing, I decided to bring the ashes back with me to Houston so I could fulfill her last wish in my next trip to Cuba. At that time, I was planning to join the Cuba mission trip of Northwoods, so that was the perfect occasion to fulfill her last wish. The story I want to share this morning happened in the summer of 2016 when Abuelo, my grandpa, and I were driving up from Miami to Fort Lauderdale to take my flight back to Houston. In that time, my 95-year-old grandpa had been through many tough situations in the previous months. He had lost his second wife a couple of months ago. His health had become worse, and he had also been suffering from depression and loneliness. Since we couldn't share much time during that visit to Miami, I asked him to drive me to the airport. Actually, I was the one who drove to the airport. He didn't like to drive. What I didn't tell him, in order to be sure that he would come with me, was that I was carrying my grandma's remains in one of my suitcases. During the ride, I asked Abuelo, my grandpa, about the time when he was married with my grandma. Since we couldn't talk about each other, I barely never knew about this part of their lives. So I was not sure, actually, if that was the right decision to bring up that topic, I mean. But surprisingly, my grandpa started remembering and telling stories about their life together. He regretted why they could not have a normal relationship after their divorce, especially after my father's passing, even though living so close in the same city, very close to each other. And then he went on telling stories of their life together in New York, in Havana, some beautiful stories, and some maybe not so beautiful, like when the day when my father passed away. Which all these stories, at one point, made us weep. But the most remarkable moment for me was that I could see indeed as if all his bad feelings, all resentments of the past were gone as he was talking and remembering. While he was remembering these stories with my grandma, my grandpa's face showed a shining light of gratitude. Gratitude for my grandma's life. I don't know but something in his tired and lonely face started changing. He looked peaceful and even sounded hopeful. And it was a powerful moment. At some point in the conversation, he said, "It feels as if Kuka, my grandma's nickname, it feels as if Kuka is with us right now." Then I answered him without revealing what I was carrying in my luggage. Then I answered him, "I guarantee you, Abuelo, she's close to us right now. Maybe closer than you might think." Remembering from that perspective could be that revival force that challenges our present, but also that makes our present more meaningful. Memorial Day, like the Lord's Supper, can be the best opportunity to make a pause in our hectic, future and success-oriented life and look back. They call us to look to the past and remember the lives of those who have made in many ways an impact in our faith, to our lives, to this country, as a way to bring their memories, to bring their lives into our present. For their brave sacrifice, their ultimate sacrifice, in many cases, our freedom has been achieved. Our lives have become more meaningful than ever. Here, remembrance becomes not a nostalgic, maybe discouragement, shameful act, but something special, a hope-giving moment, a hymn of gratitude maybe, and maybe a sacrament of life. May God bless us this Memorial Day. Let's pray. Lord, as we have been asking and saying the whole day, remembering those who made the ultimate sacrifice for our lives, for our country, let us be reminded always what you have done on the cross, what they have done. And let us be a hymn of gratitude. Let us praise and sing always in our lives a hymn of gratitude for what they have done for us. In Jesus' name.